I'm facing a big challenge. I have to explain some technical information in a non-technical way, further complicated by the fact that I'm not a very technical person myself. But here goes. I have to explain to Paul Omani, who is a very, very good and dear friend of mine, what I'm going to be doing this weekend with Peter Cox and Neil McShane, two fellow photographers and my co-hosts on the Circle of Confusion professional photography podcast. See, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing something quite outrageous in a way and something very unfair. We're going to be taking one type of camera and we're going to be pitching it against another type of camera to see how well one fares against the other. It would be, to give you an analogy of what we're going to be doing, it would be like Ireland taking on England at cricket. And I don't mean one day cricket, I mean proper cricket, test match cricket, 5 day cricket. And what we're expecting to happen is that the camera represented by Ireland is going to lose. Now, I'm not being arrogant about this. I'm not being overly overconfident about this. At the moment, England are the number one test-playing nation in the world. And I'm not talking about one-day cricket here. I'm talking about test cricket. But what we're expecting is that the camera that is going to be represented by England is going to beat the camera that's going to be represented by Ireland. However, we are expecting Ireland to give England a very, very close run. We're not expecting a result in 2 days or 3 days. We're expecting a result on the afternoon, after tea, on the fifth day. So, what are the cameras that are going to be represented by Ireland and England? Well, playing for Ireland will be the Nikon D800 and its sibling, the Nikon D800E. Very, very competent, up-and-coming cameras, and recently released onto the world and making a very big name for themselves. The D800 and 800E cameras are kind of the cameras that you would you might own one yourself, or your father might own one. They're SLR kind of cameras. They're the cameras you commonly see in camera shops. They're a step up from compact cameras, but they're a form factor that is very popular and a form factor that you'd see, you'd recognise it as being a camera when you saw it. And they cost, well, the D800 costs about 3,000 euros, so it's not a cheap camera. And the D800E costs 3,400 euros. Ironically, although it costs more, the D800 is missing a bit that the 800 has. The D800E is missing a bit that the D800 has, and it's missing a particular kind of filter. And this is where my challenge really kicks in, because now I have to explain what this filter does. It's called an anti-aliasing filter, and you put it in front of an imaging sensor to combat the interference effects that you might get from very fine detail, specifically the detail that you might find in finely woven clothing, for instance. That can actually play havoc with camera sensors, and you get this kind of distorted fringing colour pattern is the best way I can describe it from a non-technical point of view with my limited understanding of actually what's going on. But you stick a filter in front of the sensor and it deals with that. Basically, it softens the image a bit. And the D800 camera has this filter, but if you pay 400 euros more, you can have a camera, the D800E, that doesn't have this filter. So you'd be wondering, well, why on earth would you pay 400 euros more for a filter that you're not going to get that actually has a benefit? Well, the thing is, modern sensors have become so good, and particularly their the pixel count has become so high, that this has become less and less relevant, this phenomenon, this aliasing, this moiré is another term for it. So if you have a sensor with a high resolution, i.e. lots and lots of megapixels, a megapixel is a photo site, it gathers light, which then gets converted into a signal, which is then converted into an image using very, very clever process, which we won't go into. If you have lots and lots of these these photo gathering sites, you don't need this filter. So that's why there is a version now of this camera that doesn't have the filter. Why you have to pay 400 euros more for something you're not getting, I don't know. But the camera world is a bit funny that way. Ask anybody who's trying to buy a Leica camera. The less you get, the more it costs. Now, we're going to be coupling these 3,000 euro cameras to 2,000 euro lenses. So we're not scrimping on the lenses either. We're using a very good quality lens. So basically, you've got a package there of a camera and a lens that's going to cost between 5,000 and 5,500 euros. That's hardly chump change. That's not the kind of money most of us have got in our back pocket. But it pales into insignificance when you compare it to the money involved with the England team, with the camera that will be representing the England side of the equation, if you like. These are multi-million pound earning superstars of cricket. And on their side of the equation, we have the Phase 1 IQ180 medium format camera back. And this is a camera back that has 80 megapixels. So over on the Nikon / Island side of things, we're making do with 36 megapixels. And I can hardly believe I'm using the phrase making do, because 5 years ago, 10 years ago, this was a number that was just beyond the realms of possibility almost. And now they're shipping in consumer products. So on the Island side of the equation, in the Nikon camp, we have 36 megapixels, 36 million pixels, 36 million photo gathering sites. And over on the England Phase 1 side of the fence, we have 80 million of those photo sites. Now, the camera combinations that we're going to be using, because this back is this photo capturing device can be put on a range of cameras, and they can be put on technical cameras, and they can be put on more of a handheld camera. But they're much bigger; their form factor is much clumsier than the Nikon camera. The Nikon camera, like I say, is relatively small. But if you're looking for a price equation, the Phase 1 IQ80 back plus a camera system, you know, that's a camera to put it on and a lens to stick on the front of that, is going to set you back about 40,000 euros. That's right, 40,000 euros. Okay, so on the one side of the fence, we have the 40,000 euro cricket team, and on the other side of the fence, we have the 5,000 euro cricket team. Now, you would expect then that the 5,000 euro cricket team to be 1/8 as good as the 40,000 euro cricket team. But is that the case? This is what we want to find out. Anecdotal evidence would suggest maybe the difference isn't as big. Yes, we fully expect the Phase 1 IQ180 back to win this contest. But what we're going to do is we're going to put it into a real-life context. We're going to make prints. Yes, we'll probably look at them on screen and zoom into 100% and do that, which is a level of magnification that nobody really uses. But we're also going to print off big prints so that we can see the quality that these cameras, these two cricket teams, are capable of in the real world. And like I say, we're fully expecting that the underdog, Ireland in this case, the 5,000 euro Nikon / Ireland cricket team, in a proper test match against the heavyweight, if you like, the Phase 180, IQ180, 80 megapixel back, 40,000 euros of camera system, is going to do quite well. We think Ireland is going to take England to certainly a fourth day of the test match, probably a fifth day, and they may even get beyond lunch and possibly after tea. We expect the real world comparison to actually be quite close. But we don't know. We are pitching David against Goliath here. But anecdotal evidence that we have so far is that the Nikon will do very, very, very well. Now, I need to tell you a little bit more. What can I tell you? Well, first of all, the D800 cameras are as rare as hen's teeth. Absolutely, you know, there are only few in Ireland, certainly of the D800E. A couple of weeks ago, there were only three in the country, is what we heard. But thanks to our listeners on the Circle of Confusion podcast, we have been able to obtain both a copy of the D800, courtesy of Aidan Coffey, and a copy of the D800E, courtesy of Javier Leiter. And they're going to loan us these cameras for the weekend so that we can test them. Now, there's another camera in the mix, just to fill you in completely. There's another team. There's another cricket team itching to get in on this game. But unfortunately, they haven't been able to field enough players to participate. I'm talking about the Canon 5D Mark III. Also very hard to get hold of, and we've been sadly unsuccessful. We would love to have taken this camera into this. It would have been a triangular series had we been able to do this. We've had a triangular series of cricket matches between these cameras. Unfortunately, as I say, Canon wasn't able to field a team in this particular instance. So it's just going to be Ireland against England, Nikon against Phase One. This is all going to happen in County Kerry over the next couple of days. And I'm just going to run through some gear for you so that Paul has some idea of the gear we're going to be using. And it might not mean a lot to people, but to people in the photographic industry, this is the kind of thing they get really excited about. It's a little bit sad, but this is just the way it is. Gear in photography is almost as important as actually taking a picture, which is a shame, really. But and people get incredibly tribal about cameras. Oh my God, you should try and separate somebody who is a Canon fanboy from somebody who is a Nikon fanboy. It's, talk about a spectator sport. Goodness me, they could actually televise these debates because they get very heated and very silly. But anyway, let me give you some gear. So we're using a D800 and a D800E on the Nikon side. The lens that we're going to be using is a 24mm tilt and shift lens, a very exotic lens, and it's the kind of lens that you can move around on the camera body to counteract distortions that you might get. So, for instance, if you're photographing a building, we all know the phenomenon where you're photographing a building and the taller the building is, the lines converge towards the top and it actually looks as if the building is falling over backwards. Well, what you can do with a tilt and shift lens is you can combat that and all the lines are straight and as they should be. So that's one use of a tilt and shift lens. And it's a very exotic kind of lens and usually built to very high standard. So we've got the loan of one of those as well. On the Phase 1 side, so we've got the Phase 1 IQ 180 back. We have the use of Peter Cox's 645DF Phase 1 body. And we'll have a 35mm lens attached to that. And to give you know, these are very high spec'd pieces of gear. I mean, the camera and the lens together would set you back €6,500, which, to give you an idea, is more than my car cost. Now, I have a second-hand car, admittedly, but still. And then you need to attach the 180 imaging back to that, because if you don't, all you have is a lens and a bit of a body and nothing else. In addition, we're going to be testing the 180 and we're going to be pairing it with an Arca Swiss technical camera, which when you see it, you would hardly believe it costs the money it does, because it really is just a plate with a big hole in it. And on one side of the hole, you put the camera back, the 180, and on the other side of the hole, you put a lens. And the lens that we're going to be using is the 35mm Schneider Digitar lens. And the Arca Swiss with the viewfinder and that particular lens is going to set you back about €7,000. And even then, don't forget, you've still got to put the back on. So you're still got to, you know, and the backs are expensive. Sorry, I got interrupted there. Back on track again. So those are all the technical details of the cameras we're going to be using. I hope I've given you some kind of an idea of the David and Goliath comparison that we're trying to make. I do realise all of a sudden that by using a cricket analogy, I've probably muddied the waters more than I've clarified them, but there we go, I'm not recording this again. If you'd like to follow along, if you hear this in time, and you'd like to follow along this weekend and keep up with Paul's efforts and to tweet and audio boo on our behalf, and we'll also be tweeting ourselves and audio booing ourselves, the hashtag to follow on Twitter is BigTest. That's the hashtag to follow. We will also be audio booing ourselves. Probably I will, Roger Overall, and so will Paul. Paul, if you don't know, is Omani Blog on Audio Boo. So if you search for him, you'll find lots and lots of interesting content. And also over this weekend, content about what we're up to, including, I think, some poetry. So there you are. This is the kind of literary, multi-transmedia kind of thing that we're going to be doing. We may, and there's no promises here, we may be doing a Google Hangout at some point. So if you're on Google Plus, look for me, because it will probably go through my account. So, and I'm Roger Overall on Google Plus. And we will try to do a hangout on the Sunday, which is when we're going to be printing the files from the cameras. So tomorrow is the day of photography, and then on Sunday we're going to be printing the files and discussing them. Now the whole thing is going to be bound up in a video, and the video will be freely available on the Circle of Confusion website, which is circleofconfusion.ie. And there's no time frame on it. We want to get it done as quickly as possible, obviously. But once that's all done and we've got all the results in and we can look at, in sort of real-world circumstances, what the differences are between the cameras and just how close the Nikon D800 will run the IQ180. Very curious myself, because we all know that in sport, upsets are possible. Probably not going to happen in this particular case in photography, but you never know. Stay tuned.